British Sky Broadcasting presents Ray Galton and Alan Simpson's Steptoe and Son Ride Again, starring Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett, with Diana Dawes and Milo O'Shea, Bill Maynard and Uther Joyce, directed by Peter Sykes. The Steptoe's Junkyard, the top window at the rear of a house. Steptoe points a gun with a plastic figure of Donald Duck at the end of the barrel at a cockerel on a neighbour's wall. He takes aim and fires.
Goddamn noisy bleeder.
Steptoe fires again, misses and hits the floor, causing the ceiling below to collapse on Harold, who is asleep in bed. Next, Harold leads the horse out of the stable. He walks through three blue socks hanging on a washing line. Steptoe is in the kitchen cutting thick slices from a white loaf. He puts some butter on a small paintbrush, coughs, and the long piece of ash dangling from the cigarette in his mouth falls onto the slice of bread. Steptoe spreads the butter and the ash onto the bread with the paintbrush. Next, he picks up a chunk of cheese, measures it on the slice of bread, then winds it through the large wooden rollers of a mangle. The cheese is flattened. Harold puts ornamental straw on the horse's bridle and starts to plait it. Steptoe puts the cheese on the bread and presses it down with his elbow, which is poking out of a hole in the sleeve of his brown cardigan. Harold finishes plaiting the straw and trims the ends with a knife. Steptoe slices a banana in half and carries it with the sandwich and a brown paper bag outside to Harold, who is brushing down the horse.
What? Where's my dinner money?
We haven't got any. You'll have to make do with sandwiches.
I can't go all day without a proper dinner.
We can't afford two hot meals a day. We're not earning it. We'll have to economise.
Bleed North gets his dinner.
Well, that's different. He's more important than you are.
Thank you very much.
God keep him healthy. Expect it, didn't we, Daddy?
Why don't you stop smoking that horrible tobacco? Even stick the yard out.
It's the only enjoyment I get out of life. The cheapest they've got.
It smells like it. Horse manure and bus tickets.
I can't afford anything else. We've had a lot of bills lately.
Now, look, you. I am not interested. Broke or not, if there is no meat for me on the table when I come in tonight...
I'm warning you, that horse is going out with one leg missing tomorrow, all right?
And no secret eating before I get home. We shall eat together in full view of each other. In future, I want to see every little thoughtful that goes down that horrible little grab tunnel of yours.
Understand?
Good morning, Peter. Don't call me at the office. I shall be in conference.
Give you.
Oh, have a good day in the garden, Father. Get Jenkins to prune the elms, will you?
If you brought on some good stuff for a change, we might earn a decent living.
Cobblers!
And look after that horse!
Harold drives the horse and cart out of the yard. Next, Harold is riding down a street where young boys are playing in a wrecked car. God Will Provide is sprayed in red paint on a nearby wall. Harold walks beside the horse down a different street. A red and white coach passes in the road behind. Harold stares up at the top of a tower block and gestures if he should go up.
Come on up!
Is it a lot?
Smiling, Harold runs to the back of the cart and picks up a sack. He goes into the lift in the block, but notices the wires have been ripped out. He grimaces and passes some young boys playing football at the foot of the stairs. The camera pans up to the top of the block. Harold staggers onto a landing where an old woman is holding a carrot out to him.
For your horse. It's a carrot. Don't forget to give it to him, will you? And I'll have another one for him next week. Bye-bye. Would you mind posting these letters for me, please? Thank you.
Exhausted, Harold stares at the carrot. Harold staggers down the last flight of stairs. He stands in front of the horse and bites the end off the carrot. He gives some to the horse. A young boy approaches the cart as a blonde woman watches from an upstairs window.
You don't reckon bone, Ben?
Nah, I'm Aristotle Narcissus. Mrs. Albert Egg and a packet of fags.
My mum says if you want my dad's clothes, you can come and get them.
Oh, God. What floor?
In there.
Ah, that's all right, then. Come on.
The blonde woman watches the boy lead Harold into the house. The boy stops at the foot of the stairs.
You see him, Mum?
Hello.
Good morning.
I've seen you round here before, haven't I?
Yes, I do come round this way quite often.
Yeah, so I've noticed.
Let me have some old clothes for me.
Yeah. Come in.
Harold squeezes past the blonde into a living room full of children.
I said out! Clear off!
Children are a bit of a trial, aren't they?
I don't know, I ain't got any.
Oh.
I'm not married.
Now then, where were we?
The clothes.
Oh, yes, my husband's.
Funny one of them, then?
No, he's dead.
Oh, I'm most terribly sorry.
I didn't know what to do with them, you see. I was going to sling them out, and then I saw you out there.
I do pay the best prices.
I thought to myself, poor man, he must be freezing.
That is a bit parky, but I'm used.
Parky? You're chilled to the bone. What you need is a stiff drink inside you.
I really better not. I should be getting along.
Would you mind? Now then. Can you see anything you like? Ah, you know. A nice drop of brandy. Put them down anywhere.
Harold puts the newly ironed clothes onto a chair as the blonde pours two drinks.
There. Well, by the side of you, and on the top of you, and underneath you, and right inside you.
Harold gulps down his drink.
Now about the clothes.
Oh, there's plenty of time for that.
There isn't. I got the horse outside without a brake on. If I could just see the clothes.
Well, all right, then. They're just in here.
The blonde shows Harold into a bedroom. A lacy negligee lies across one of the beds.
No, madam. I've got to feed the horse.
Well, he can have his oats later. Here they are. And, you can take the lot.
Yes, it's a very nice quality. Oh, I can take all of this. Look, if it upsets you selling all these gear, I'll put it back.
No. I want you to have them.
Uh-huh.
It's just that it gets so lonely being a widow.
Does it?
It's the nights. It's the worst.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hang on, it's only just lunchtime.
Please don't go. Stay with me.
Look, I'm very flattered, madam.
I need your company, you see. You've got such a kind face. My husband, he was such a brute. He used to beat me.
The swine?
Yes. Stay with me. Stay with me, just for a minute.
The kids will be here in a minute.
Who's that? Him.
He's dead.
Well, I told you he was.
Yeah, but God blimey, not this morning.
No, yesterday.
But that don't make any better, do it?
Well, he was a pig.
And you was willing to in here with me while he was
Okay, now, here.
Oh, hold on. Look, that's a good suit he's got on him. Won't take me a minute to get it off him.
You can't bury him naked.
Well, I'll put one of the others on him. I mean, it's a shame to waste it. It came from Cecil G's.
I don't want it. Oh, I don't want none of them. Look, I'm a rag of bowman. I'm not a foxy grave robber.
Harold flees the room. The blonde sits on the bed in disgust and puts a cigarette into her mouth as she looks at her husband's corpse.
What are you bleeding grinning at?
Stecto lifts the lid of a cheese dish holding a mouldy piece of cheese. Harold drives the cart past a poster advertising "Have fun in the sun." Stepto's in the yard, looking at a long piece of string which is draped over the corrugated roof of a shed and ending in a loop next door where there are chickens feeding. A chicken pecks at food in the centre of the loop. Stepto pulls the string, tightening the loop around the chicken's leg and hauls it up. Harold is dozing as he holds the reins of the horse and doesn't notice the horse pulling the cart into a blue Pickford's removal van with York painted in white on the side. Three removal men in white coats come out of a house and secure the back of the van. Stepto takes a roast chicken out of the oven and sniffs it. The Pickford van speeds down a dual carriageway. Next, Harold drives the horse and cart on the opposite side of the road to a yellow AA sign marked to the north. Now he is sitting on a sofa, each foot soaking in a bowl of water.
York. York?
York.
York! Oh. Who the hell do you think you are, Dick Turpin?
Poor horse.
Yeah, that poor horse,
Never mind about poor Harold. 3 solid days on the road.
You was driving. He was pulling.
Don't matter about me. Sleeping in fields. Nothing to eat.
Oh, that's not my fault. I had your dinner ready.
A Bombay shy talk would have left more on it than that.
I was hungry. You just couldn't save me any, could you? If that vet finds out that you've damaged that horse, I'm warning you. Walking him all that way. Must be close on 200 miles.
What do you expect me to do? Put him in a cart and pull him myself?
You could have put him on the train.
Oh, yes. Intercity. First class. Oh, the horse would have liked that. Oh, yes, sitting back there with his feet crossed. Doing the Times crossword.
I'm talking about not people put their cars on trains.
You're lucky it wasn't one of them French lorries. We might have ended up in Marseille. Ooh, I wish we had have done. I could have flogged the horse to some restaurant owner and stayed there. Oh, all like a married rumpo lying on the beach, sizzling in the hot sun. Come on, let's go and see this precious pet of yours.
How is he, Doctor?
I've given him a thorough examination. There's no doubt about it. He's lame. I'm afraid he's strained his heart as well.
Now, it's you, that is. You've ruined him.
I wouldn't say that. Finding he does nothing strenuous, there's no reason why he shouldn't live for several more years. Give him one of these, 3 times a day after meals. Plenty of rest, that's what he needs. My bill. My bill.
Yeah. Oh, our accounts department will take care of that at the end of the month. What's going to happen to him, Harold?
Not very well what's going to happen to him. Poor old devil. He'll have to be put down, I suppose.
Put down?
Yeah. Well, what else can we do? We've got a new horse, haven't we? We take away the horse, we're knackered. We've got nothing. We might as well be put down with him. Wallop.
Well, we've got to be practical.
How much are you going to ask for then? 30 pieces of silver? Oh, please, Aaron, don't do. After all his mentors, he deserves better than that. Every time I go into that supermarket and see all them stacks of tinned dog food, I think of him.
Yeah. I never saw of it like that.
He's going to live out his natural span.
Oh, don't ask, sloppy.
come and see you on the Green Line every week.
A tube and a movie with him.
Oh, come on, dead down, ain't you? Out. Cheerio. See you next week. Give him a pat, Harold. Cheerio.
Not too old for that, is he? Look at him. He'll be dead in a week.
I think he's going to be happy, Harold.
The horse chases another down the field of the rest home for horses. Now Steptoe counts banknotes at a table.
Come with you and stop smoking those awful stinking fags. You should be declared a woman pollution area.
That's it. That's the lot. My life savings. £89.
As much as that, your life savings, 89 quid. That's about 22 bob a year. That is a remarkable growth. Here, you must tell me the name of your merchant bankers. Have you ever thought of going public?
It's better than kids up the arse.
Which is exactly what I feel like giving you.
£9 for emergencies. £80 for a new horse. We'll go down to Southall Market. But we're not giving it away on a load of old rubbish.
Ooh!
A stable hand runs a horse through a crowd at the market.
74 pounds of it, and 77 pounds.
Done now, 77 pounds. Good legs, nice big
shoulders. Look, I'm the one who has to drive it, I know what we want. Well, I'm only telling you, it's a good one over there.
How'd you like to buy the bleeding thing?
No, I'll leave it to you.
Oh, I'm not completely daft, you know. I don't know much, but I do know about horses.
Well, now you do.
Well, just trust me for once in your life.
All right, all right.
I mean, God blimey, you still like to be able to put my money down my glove when I go down the road and buy a bottle of Guinness for you. Look, all I've got to do is pick out a nice, clean animal, put the money down and bring it home.
I know.
I mean, there's hundreds of animals here I can take my pick.
I know you can.
Well, then.
Well, it's just important we buy the right one.
I know it is. That is what I'm saying.
Right, then.
Right.
Right. Nice one over there.
Why don't you mind your own business? I am not buying an animal with you here. Now go home. Hop it. Would you ever take me? Go on. Get off home.
I want to stop here.
If you don't let me buy this horse on my own, I'm packing it in. I'm finished. Now I mean it.
There's a lot of twisters round here, Harold.
Go on.
Nice one over there.
Good, good. Go on. Go on. Out.
I want to stop here.
Nice. Go on. Get out. Go on.
124, 126, 128, and it's in the
box. Hello. Hello. Thank you. How are you?
Fine. Are you looking for a new animal?
Yeah.
Well, just the one for you.
Yeah? Is it a bit...
Steptoe stands to attention and salutes as he watches the Queen troop in the colour on the black and white television set. He switches off the TV and scratches the back of his head.
Where the bleeding hell is he?
Fear not, little Dan. The family fortunes is intact. Meet Hercules the Second.
Harold holds the end of a long rope, attached to the end of which is a greyhound.
What's that? Greyhound! Oh, my God!
don't shout.
You want your head examined.
I wish I could have it changed at the moment. Oh, God, God, God.
How can he pull the car?
Strangely enough, that is not the role I had in mind for him. Now, if you will sit down quietly, I will explain.
Don't bother. Just tell me where you got him and I'll take him back.
Pack it off.
Pack it off.
I bought him off of Frankie Barrett.
Frankie Barrett? The godfather in Shepherd's Bush?
No, he's not. He's straight now.
Don't give me that. He's got as many fiddles gone as the London Philharmonic. Oh, well, that's it then. We've had it. I'm surprised that dog even managed to walk round here.
There's nothing wrong with him. He's imperfect, Nick.
That's where I thought Frankie Barrow was. Oh, why did you do it, Harold? Our last 80 quid.
80 quid? You don't think I'd pay 80 quid for ground, do you?
Oh, well, that's something anyway. How much did you pay for him?
200.
200?
200! £40 down the rest of the end of the month.
200?
He's a champion ground, Dad. We'll pick up more than that on the first race. Did I bring a bag home with me last night?
Oh, God, not a woman as well.
A shopping bag.
Yeah, left it here.
You should see his pedigree, Dad. Frankie Bauer showed it to me. He's descended from Mick the Miller.
I don't care if he's descended from Max Miller. He shouldn't have done it. We're right up the creek now. Oh, that's enough for me. How many are you having?
They're not for you. They're for him. That's his breakfast.
Six eggs!
And a pound of steak.
A pound of steak? It's protein, see?
It keeps them strong, makes them run faster. We'll have to cut the couple of races. We'll be eating like that ourselves.
Oh, oh my son, give it down. Here! You can't give a dog steak.
You put that back! You put that back! You don't buy Rolls Royce and run it on paraffin.
Gives a bit.
No!
He mightn't like it all.
Well, if you leave, then he can have a bit.
We can't afford to feed him like that every day.
We can't afford not to, Dad. That is not just an ordinary dog. That is our passport out of his dump into Barrett's for tea.
I could be doing with mine off the floor at the moment. Look at him. He's wolf the lot.
Good, good. I mean, that shelter's nothing wrong with his appetite. Oh, well, there's no time like the present. The sooner we get racing him, the sooner he starts that world cruise. I shall give him a trial. Tomorrow.
Harold!
What's the matter?
He's done it up my leg.
That's so he'll know you again. It's just a friendly gesture.
Is he? Well, he'd better watch out when I want to go.
Steptoe and Harold watch as greyhounds are paraded around the racetrack.
Here. Oh, don't he look well trained? Oh, you can see that. Oh, look, he's cool. He ain't nervous at all. He's not worried, because they're born to it, you see. I mean, it's bred in them. It's genetics. Look at him. Oh, cheer. I can't watch him. Hey, look at the haunches. Look at him. He ain't a first time, man, never.
The dogs are put into their traps. Harold gets his stopwatch ready. The cover is lifted off the mechanical rabbit. The steward waves a white flag. A man presses a lever and the rabbit sets off. A small crowd watches as the dogs hurtle out of the traps. Steptoe and Harold stare in horror at their dog that is still in his trap. Frankie Barrow and his friends laugh. Harold turns away with a sick look on his face.
I told you, he's a wanker. You'd buy anything, wouldn't you? If anybody ever tries to sell you a talking parrot, you'd better look for a tape recorder stuffed up its kyber.
Oh, well, thank you. You can't win them all.
No, you can't.
The greyhound eats the cigarette Harold has snatched from Steptoe's mouth.
Hello, Harold. Having a few teething troubles? If I was 30 years younger, you'd be having some teething troubles. You knew he wouldn't win. You give us back our money, you twister. We'll have the law on you.
You shut your mouth, old man.
Leave this to me, father. Look, Frankie, although my pater has somewhat crudely overstated our case, I do feel that in the essence what he says is most valid, namely that we've been ripped off. However, I am prepared, under the circumstances, to hand over the dog to you in return for our money back. We'll say no more about it. How does that sound?
Very reasonable. I'll tell you what I'm prepared to do.
Yeah?
You keep the dog.
Yeah?
And I'll keep the money you already paid me.
Yeah.
And if the balance, i.e. 160 sheets, is not forthcoming by Saturday week, me and my colleagues will be around beating on your drum with the Wilkinsons freshly stropped. How does that sound?
Very nasty.
Saturday week. All right. Come, gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Saturday week. No horse. No income. Dog that won't run. We can't do it, Harold. I'm frightened. I'm too old to be sliced up.
Oh, come on. Now, look, no one's going to slice you up. We'll get the money. Miss Stoney, we'll train it ourselves. All we've got to do is to train it to run after a silly little rabbit. I mean, that can't be difficult. Just a little patience. That's all it needs.
Harold, dressed in a blue tracksuit, tries to jog out of the yard with the greyhound on a lead, but the dog won't move.
Come on, ready, steady, go!
Harold sets off again. This time, the dog follows. Steptoe is in the garden, holding the string which is looped around chicken feed in the yard next door. He pulls on the string which is caught around the ankle of his neighbour. The man is yanked off his feet into the air and through a pane of glass. Steptoe quickly tosses the string over the shed. Harold jogs down the road with the dog. Next, Steptoe goes into a butcher's shop.
Yeah, that's a nice piece of meat. Yeah, like that cut. Show us. Oh, yeah, very nice.
How much?
£2.50, sir.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry about that. How much did you say?
£2.50, sir.
I don't want it.
What do you mean you don't want it?
Can't afford it. Give us a half pound of sausages.
You're not going to put that meat back, are you?
Well,
you just coughed all over it.
Well, yes, I know.
If I sell that, I shall report you to the health authorities.
I'll give you 35 LP.
50.
37 and a half.
I hope you will enjoy it, sir.
Oh, it's not for me. It's for the dog. Afternoon, ladies.
Harold jogs into a park with the dog. He lets the dog off the lead and it races away. The dog races down the street. Harold tries to follow. The dog runs into the junkyard, colliding with Steptoe as he leaves the house. Steptoe stands in the yard, looking up at a pigeon as it flies past. With a knowing look on his face, Steptoe stares at a neighbour's pigeon loft.
Hercules!
Lost my dog!
Hercules!
Steptoe's neighbour, whose foot was caught in the string, hobbles out of the house on a crutch and wearing a plaster cast on an arm and a leg. He stands by the pigeon loft looking at the sky with a worried expression. He goes back into the house. Steptoe opens the oven and takes out a tray holding two roasted pigeons. He smiles, sniffs, and licks his lips.
Hercule!
Nighttime and Harold is still in the park. Steptoe tucks into a roasted pigeon as Harold staggers through the yard and into the house.
Your dinner's in the oven. What's the matter with you?
We've lost him. He's gone.
Who?
Hercules the second. He's run away. I'm sorry, Dad. It's all over.
He's not gone. He's upstairs in bed having a kip.
Oh, gee.
Can tearing in here like a blue arse fly. 4 o'clock this afternoon.
When?
4 o'clock.
He couldn't have done. He didn't run away till 10 to...
Just a minute.
How far is Acton Park?
5 miles.
5 miles? In 10 minutes? He must have broken the world's record. He can run! Dad! He can run! I told you, he can run! Yeah. All we've got to do is teach him to come out of the trap, and we're in! He can run! He can run!
Steptoe rides a bike with the greyhound in a trailer attached. Harold jogs behind. The neighbour shakes his crutch as they go past and falls back on his stool into the door of the house. Harold is in the park with a dog in the trailer.
Ready? Go!
Go!
Go! Go!
Come on, come on! Faster! Come on, come on! Move it! Faster, faster!
Hey, go! Hey, come on again! You're too slow! It's supposed to be a rabbit, not a bleeding snail!
Steptoe cycles past the dog, the head of a brush tied to a piece of string behind the bike. The dog stays in the trailer.
Out! Come on, will you come out? Please, come out! Chase the rabbit! Come on, it's not you! Why are you now? Chase the rabbit! Rabbit!
Harold, Steptoe and the dog sit in the park.
I don't understand it. Look, all dogs chase things, surely. We know he can run.
Look, that is a rabbit. You're supposed to chase it. You're a dog.
One last go.
Seize it. Over there, you dog, Pillock. What's the matter, you're blind or something?
I'll bet that's it. He can't see a bleeding thing.
Well, get over something. Well, get your ears over. That's right. Now, that's it. You see anything? Oh, try another bit, shall we? Yeah. Here, how about these ones? These are nice, the gold. That's it. Ain't you? How about these then? Oh, that's a lovely frame. Yeah, and it matches your coat.
Get him on! You're unbeatable! You can see! You can see!
They won't let them race wearing glasses.
Not glasses. Contact lenses. Ready?
Go!
Yes. Hey, Johnny! Hey! Johnny! Take your fucking now!
If you run, I'll murder you! Oh, we are record, swim, see, keep him a shilling, get rid of some oil fields.
Now, I might convert it for no seekers, Dave. 380 quid on you, right on the nose. Ain't the one. You bless.
Bless us, the wallets. Give them an airing. It's all beautiful stuff. From the consumer to the consumer. Oh, yes, how very elegant. Ah, madam, that is the fashion, you see. Centre vent, straight up the back. Have you seen the label? That's Savile Row, that is. As worn by John Mills in Ryan's Daughter. Beautiful fit, sir. Oh, lovely pair of wrist cutters, darling. 25p to you. Haven't worked with the old man inside. Oh, yes, very elegant.
style their mum used to wear.
Would you like to try it on?
Where?
In a stable.
Come on.
You've forgotten.
A young blonde woman with a revealing neckline beckons Harold towards the stable.
Harold! Harold!
Oh, won't be a minute, darling. Just make yourself come.
Get up.
Now, what do you want?
Bleeding locust, the bar and the lock.
That's the idea. Oh, you've done well there. You keep up the good work.
Harold, don't sell everything. This is our own. We won't have anything left.
No, when that dog comes in at 8 to 1 with this little lot in him, we'll have all new stuff. Here goes that. That's it. Keep our genuine antiques. It's a fire sale. Don't sell the telly. It's on hire.
Do you mind? That's mine.
All right, Mr. Blobs.
That was my tea, you silly old cow.
A woman pulls the rug from under Steptoe's feet. The Greyhound Stadium at night. Tic Tac men wave their arms. The traps are wheeled into position.
£80
a 10
Hercules.
The dogs are taken round the track, led by Hercules.
Excuse me, mate. Might wait for an owner.
Excuse me, I'm an owner.
Oh, this is it, Dad. This is it.
Oh, God.
You're like a baby with a dummy, not another one. He's just fallen out.
And I know, Sharon.
The steward waves the white flag. The mechanical rabbit sets off. The traps are open and the dogs race out. Hercules is in the lead. Steptoe puffs furiously on his cigarette to the annoyance of bystanders. Hercules jumps off the track and into Harold's arms.
I think he wanted a cigarette.
Harold throws away the race card in disgust. Frankie Barrow winds down the window of his car.
Bad luck, Harold. My friends and I will be coming round in 3 days.
And when they come round, we won't be coming round for 3 weeks.
I knew no good would come of it. You and your get-rich-quick schemes, they never work and they never will. And do you know why?
No, why?
Because the only way to get on in this world is by hard work, and that's something you're not prepared to do.
Not prepared to do? I've worked my knackers off ever since the day I left school. 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. And for what? 243 quid a minus. 36 stitches to come.
We would have been all right if you hadn't put it all on that daft dog. He's as useless as you are. Hard work, that's the only way to make money.
Gobblers. Well, you don't think all them rich Herberts up in the city made all them millions out of hard work, do you? No, brains, mate, they use their brains.
Oh, well, that's you out. You can't use what you ain't got.
No, but I'll use something I've got in a minute.
You wouldn't dare. Go on, hit me. It wouldn't be the first time. That's what the world's come to, a son striking his father. I'm only glad your mother's not here.
I'll bet you are. You would have got one from her as well.
Yes, all right. I'm coming. You can't give a goldfish bird seed.
That's all we've got. It's either that or nothing. Besides, we might make a fortune out of him. Charlie, the musical goldfish. You've always hidden money away before. You sure you haven't forgotten anywhere?
There isn't any, Harold. I swear...
Steptoe puts his foot on a spike of bills Harold has thrown onto the floor.
There's nothing there, Harold.
I mean, you've got such a bloody awful memory. 3 years ago, I found 40 quid stuffed on the bare jacket.
You forgot they were there. Believe me, Harold, I don't have a penny left. You've had it all, every copper coin. It's all gone. Oh! Harold.
Harold climbs onto the toilet and takes the lid off the cistern.
Harold, I tell you, it's hopeless. I've nothing left in the world except my insurance policy.
Oh, God, whatever I put my hand in.
Harold lifts out a tin of slime.
What policy?
Oh, didn't I tell you? It was one your mother made me take out when we got married. 1,000 quid, in case I snuffed it and left her with nothing. She was always like that. Greedy. God rest her soul. Funny, isn't it? After all these years of working, scrimping and scraping, here I am, worth more dead than alive. What are you looking at me like that for?
Yes, you are, aren't you?
What?
Worth more dead than alive.
Harold.
Harold, I never realised.
Steptoe runs into the kitchen and slams the door. Harold looks at him through one of the glass panels.
Keep away from me. Harold. Harold. Don't be silly, Harold.
Of course. That's the answer.
I'll get a job. We'll do all right. I'll give up smoking. It won't cost much. I don't mind birdseed. I'll get used to it.
You've got to die, Dad.
You'll never get away with it. You're mad. You can't do it. I'm your father.
1,000 quid. Plus profits. Got to be with profits.
It is with profits, isn't it?
Dad? Are you all right? Come and sit down.
Don't kill me, Harold. Please, don't kill me. Put me in a home. Do what you like, but don't kill me.
What are you talking about? I'm not going to kill you.
You said...
Come on, Dad.
What sort of a blood do you think I am?
I just said you've got to die.
No, don't mean really die.
We've got to pretend you're dead.
You can't do that, Harold. You can't pretend you're dead. It's against the law. And cheating the insurance company, that's even worse.
Well, you're not cheating them. You're entitled to it. You just be getting a little bit earlier, that's all. That's spicy. You ain't got long to go, have you? It's no good to you when you're dead.
It'll go to you, Harold.
Well, tell you what, then. It's mine, and I want it now. We're in debt up to our ear holes. We might not have any ear holes left after Saturday. We need money, lots of it. So you've got to die.
It'd never work.
Give me one good reason, why not?
Well, I can't just disappear and you say I'm dead. They wouldn't stand for that. You've got to have a death certificate.
I know.
Don't have a death certificate. You've got to have a body. That's the law. Habeas corpus.
Harold looks through a tumbler at a tailor's dummy in the yard.
Get out of it. It's not even like me.
It will be.
The phone rings in a pub.
Hello, Fred. It's Harold.
Who?
Harold Steptoe. Hey, listen, Fred, does old Dr. Popplewell still drink with you?
I'd close if he didn't.
Is he there now?
Yeah, he's here now. Could you ask him to come to the phone?
I could ask him, but he'd never make it.
Well, can't you carry him over?
Hang on.
Thanks.
Dr. Popplewell, the drunk, the one that delivered you. He's not still doctoring, is he?
Yeah, he always said he'd work till he fell down.
He's always falling down, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And he's got the worst eyesight I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's right. He wears them great big thick pebble glasses.
Oh, I don't think you can see as far as the lens.
Physician.
Hello, Dr. Popplewell.
This is he.
He's pissed as a fart.
Oh, it's most kind. A large gin and tonic.
Doctor, could you call round? It's my father. He's collapsed. I think it's his heart.
His car?
No. His heart.
What's the address?
26A Oil Drum Lane.
26 Oil Drum Lane.
When can you come round?
Sometime tonight.
I think.
Do you think he'll last for closing time?
What time do I close, then?
Same time they've always bloody well closed. I'll be round as soon as I can.
Thank you, Doctor. Dad, I think your abuse is just about to become very copious.
Steptoe strips off his clothes as Harold carries in parts of the dummy.
Linda! On your back! Molly, something in there.
Now, come off. Argus, very deathlock.
It's not jointed. I can't bend my legs.
I don't want you to bend your legs. You're not supposed to be moving. You're dead.
Here! Oh. It hasn't got any wassets.
Well, you're an heart attack. You won't be looking at your wassets. Well, notice when we get your clothes on. It'll have your comms on it. Shut your eyes, hold your breath.
Perfect. Not a movement.
That fool, Dr. Barnard, that would. I think it's going to work, Dad. If you do that when the doctor's here, you won't be pretending you're dead.
The doctor's car careers into the yard, knocking over a pile of junk.
He's here.
The doctor staggers out of the car and into the arms of Harold at the front door.
Oh, Doctor, you've arrived.
Hello. It's a long time since I've been to this house. I just thought about the park of the car.
Yes, I heard. But don't worry. It's all right.
What's wrong with you?
It's not me. It's my father.
Your father? Is he still alive?
I'm not sure.
Well, we shall see. Where is he?
Upstairs.
Upstairs? Oh, dear.
You all right? Can you see an animal in here? A large rat with a number on its back.
Oh, that's our greyhound.
Oh, thanks be to God for that.
Hello.
Oh, it's him.
What's his name?
Steptoe.
Yeah, that's the one. The heart, you said.
Yes, well, he always had a weak heart.
You better get the brandy up here right away.
The doctor dumps his bag on Steptoe's chest and takes out a stethoscope.
Thank you.
The doctor opens Steptoe's mouth, then drinks the brandy himself.
Cheers. Now, when did this happen?
About 2 hours ago. About 2 hours ago. He was saying he wasn't feeling very well. Then he suddenly collapsed, clutching his heart, and he said, "Oh, my heart."
Well, it sounds like his heart to me.
Would you like another drink?
Honey?
Another drink?
Oh, thank you.
The doctor holds the dummy's wrist as he looks at his watch.
Snow pulse.
Oh, my God, he's gone. He's dead. I knew it would happen.
Oh. Quick, open his coat and shirt. Quick. Coat and shirt.
Steptoe's cheek twitches as a fly lands on his face.
Did he move that time?
I don't think so.
I could have sworn he moved.
He can't move. He's dead.
Well, not necessarily.
That's the bed. Not very steady.
Well, we may still be in time. He's as stiff as a board. I've never known rigor mortis to set in so quickly. I don't think his ribs will stand up to much more of that. Actually, this is a hopeless case. I'm afraid you better prepare yourself for a nasty shock.
You don't mean...
Yes, I'm afraid. He's dead.
No, 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 he mustn't.
Be a brave lad, it comes to us all.
Oh, Daddy, Daddy, please, don't leave me, Daddy. Surely there must be something you could do.
Well, I can't think of anything offhand. You know, sometimes to cut them open and to try a little massage with the heart. But that wouldn't help here. It's too late. You see, he's solid. Stone dead. But it's strange. Most odd.
What? He was an old man. He had a weak heart. He was bound to happen sooner or later. There's nothing odd about it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm surprised he's lasted as long as he has.
Oh, no. I suppose I better write out the birth certificate, the death certificate.
Yes, please. If you wouldn't mind. Albert, Lady Smith, Steptoe, heart failure.
There's something odd, you know. I mean, that body. Did you notice something?
No, I didn't. Someone is always there.
No, the chest, the wrists, the hands. Hairless. There's not a single hair in that body. Now, that's very odd.
Ah, oh, you see, that was the wall. Fright. It all dropped out when the siren started. Never go again.
Except in his head.
Exactly. Most odd.
Very strange. I wonder if you give permission for a post-mortem.
No.
That would assist medical science. It would help people suffering from the same complaint.
No, I couldn't. It's against his religion. He was a 7 days wonder. They don't allow blood transfusions, cutting up, anything like that. You see, you has to go up in exactly the same condition as what you snuffed it. They don't like to be tampered with.
Well, we put back everything exactly as we found.
No, I couldn't, much as I would like to help you. He'd never forgive me if I let you chop him up.
Well, never mind. Do you know, I'm overlooking something. I can't think what it...
The doctor searches in the bed and retrieves his stethoscope.
I'm always leaving this behind. My condolences. And I'll see you in the pub.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll see you out, Doctor.
I think I broke my foot. I'll give you out.
Here we go.
Chucks away!
Steptoe lies in bed, stretching his neck and mouth.
Harold! Come and undo me! Harold! Where are you? Come and undo me!
You stole my body! I want my body! Give me my body back! I want my body!
Harold!
It's my body!
I'm coming in to get it.
My heart!
My body!
Dad? You all right?
Dad!
Steptoe lies, arms folded, in a satin-lined coffin. Harold walks over holding the lid. A skeleton wearing a top hat is in the background.
Wait.
What?
Yeah, not bad. Nice and roomy. Very comfortable.
I can stay there if you like. I don't mind.
Yeah, it's very nice. Could have been made for me.
On this view, it was. I had it in the yard for a couple of years, waiting for you to shoot off. I had a bit of spare cash handy, so I thought I'd get in before the prices went up.
You had a bit of spare cash handy, so you bought me a coffin.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. What was it for, me birthday or Christmas?
You don't like it. The man said I can always change it when the time comes.
Right, morbid, aren't you? Other sons buy their father's gold watches and cigarette cases. You give me a coffin.
Well, at least I got you a good one. Look at that. Beautiful. Solid teak, that is. It's still lined.
That's not teak. It's oak.
At least it's not plastic. Had your name put on a coffin lid as well. Albert L. Steptoe, February 10th, 1901. I'll get the other date put in now. Deeply mourned by his loving son, Harold.
Deeply mourned. Loving son, Harold.
I had that put on my tombstone as well.
What tombstone?
Well, I thought I'd get my tombstone done at the same time. But he was having a sale.
So?
I thought I'd get the lot done and done with it. You didn't turn your nose over the green shield stamps, did you?
I didn't know there was my own funeral, did I?
We'll get down.
Harold hastily puts the lid on the coffin.
Shut.
Harold puts a rubber band over the dog's mouth.
Good morning, Harold. Nice morning.
Yes, it is most clement.
It's Saturday, Harold. Payday. We just happen to be in the area debt collecting. You know the boys, don't you? Well, let's see now. Harold Steptoe, £160.
Yes, well, I'm afraid you have called at rather an inopportune time.
Oh, dear. Don't tell me you haven't got it. Not a second one this morning.
I don't lean on me, bank. I mean, I don't scare easy.
No! Stop it! You can have it!
We've been not to die!
No! No, I'm not dead! My dad's dead!
I beg your pardon?
My dad's dead! He's in there!
Oh. Oh, dear. I am sorry. Most distressing. My condolences. My heart goes out to you, Harold.
Thank you.
Poor Mr. Steptoe. Still, at least his suffering is over. He can feel no more pain in this life. Unlike some of us who are left.
You get payment insurance, Corsa!
He was insured?
Yes!
Very wise. Under the circumstances, I'm prepared to wait for the money. At 10% interest per day.
Agreed! Agreed!
Courage.
Clutching his shoulder, Harold runs back to the coffin.
You heard them. I want to get this over and done with. I want to get you planted as soon as possible, mate. Now, come on out. I'm going to nail you up.
No, I like it in here. It's nice and soft.
Right, stay in then.
Ah, I'm coming out. Who are you inviting?
Nobody.
No mourners.
Come on out. A few people know about this, the better. Want to cop the money and off. Oh, God. That's disgusting. I mean, just look at the mess. You've only had it 5 minutes. It's full of mud. Faggots. Full sweet. Dirty. I mean, Dracula's coffin's cleaner than this. And he's in and out all day long. How much do you weigh?
7.5 stone.
Here you are. That should be just about right. Good. What a treasure trove. Hey. That should bollock zap some poor archaeologist in about 1,000 years' time. Boo, boo, boo! Tooting Steptoe buried with all his treasure. Hey, just think. One day, this could be on display at the British Museum. You stretch it halfway down Oxford Street.
Harold quickly ushers Steptoe and the dog upstairs.
Hello, Harold.
Oh, hello.
We've heard the bad news. We've just come round to pay our respects.
How'd you find out?
Oh, well, everybody's talking about it.
Are they?
Bit sudden, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was. Very sudden.
I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
Why not?
Well, we saw him the other night down at the dog track. Looked all right then, didn't he?
Looked all too much for him, I suppose.
Yeah. It was too much for him to see the dog losing like that.
Yes, I expect that's what it was. All too much for him.
Well, we brought these round, like.
Oh, yes. It's very kind of you. Right, we ain't got much to offer you in the way of hospitality.
Well, that's all right. We'll take what you got.
We ain't got nothing.
I've got a bottle of scotch.
In that case, you better come in. You better come in!
Oh, I can't get in with this bloody great wheel.
In there, then, is he, Harold?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All crated up and ready for off, eh?
It's a nice coffin, Harold. Bit of good wood, that.
Yeah.
Be a few years before the old maggots get through that.
Well, excuse me, I'll go and get the glasses.
Lenny puts a heart-shaped wreath on the coffin.
You see, I was right. Harold is in trouble with the old lob.
What do you mean?
Well, look at the place. Breathing empty, isn't it? He's skinned, I tell you. And that is why he was embarrassed when we come round.
Oh, yeah. I'll see what you mean, yeah.
And that is why he's bugging the old man away on the quiet. He can't afford a big do.
It's a good job we can, then. It's worth a few bob to give him a good send-off.
Please excuse the motley collection of drinking vessels, but all the good stuff is packed away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we understand, don't
you,
we?
Yeah, you do the honours, Harold.
Yeah.
Well, I expect old Albert is upstairs now, then, isn't he?
Upstairs? What do you mean, upstairs?
Well, upstairs, you know, as opposed to down there, where old George is going.
Oh, yes, I see.
I should like to make this a toast, Harold.
Oh, no, I don't think there's
nothing. No, I insist. On behalf of myself and my fellow guests here, I should like to raise my glass and pay a warm tribute to our dear departed friend.
Dear departed.
Albert Steptoe was not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
In fact, he could be a pain in the arse at times. But then we all have our faults, don't we? But he was a good drinker, fair in business, and dare I say it, a very good father to you.
Oh, yes, so you was.
And now he's shuffled off these mortal coils and gone to join the great rag and bone man in the sky.
Get on with it.
I should like to drink a toast to his memory, coupled with our very best wishes to you in this time of your grief, and the hope that you will find comfort in knowing that he would be greatly missed by all them as knew him. Gentlemen, I give you Albert Steptoe.
Albert Steptoe.
Good luck, Albert, son. Mate. Whack him round again, Percy. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Percy.
It was a very nice speech, Lenny. I would like to thank you on behalf of my late father and myself. I'm deeply touched.
Harold, I hope you don't think we're being morbid, but is there any chance of us having a butcher? Is that him before he goes?
No, 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 you can't.
Why not? After all, we are his chiners.
Yeah, but he's all screwed down.
Hey, I'll put a screwdriver.
No, 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 please, I'd rather you didn't. You see, he's not a pretty sight.
He never was. I mean, after all, he's only had an heart attack.
Ah, yes. But, you see, it's what he was doing at the time. Oh, his face. So contorted in agony. It's horrible. What was he doing? It's very delicate. I heard this scream from the Kazi. And by the time I broke the door down, he'd gone. He was just sitting there. His poor old face. I'd rather you remember him as he was.
Well, I tell you, if I go the same way, my face will be wreathed in smiles.
leave off. Have a bit of consideration.
Oh, let's have another drink.
Yeah. Harold. Yeah. Me and the boys, we were just having a bit of a chat. We would consider it a great honour if you would allow us to give Albert a proper send-off.
Oh, no, no, but that's most kind of you, Barker.
No, 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 don't be embarrassed, Harold. I mean, our time's come to us all sooner or later.
Yeah, but you see, we were thinking, that is, I was thinking of a quiet funeral, you know, just immediate family. But we don't.
No, look, Harold, our way of life is disappearing fast. I mean, look all around you. They're tearing down all the houses. They're putting up them flats. They're building on all the yards. There won't be none of us left soon, mate. Your father, now, he was one of the oldest twattlers in the business. He could remember the old days.
He's right, you know, Harold. My father's gone. Percy's dead. He's dead.
My old dad's gone to Welling Garden City. None of the nippers going up on the plane.
Yeah, he's right. See, it's practically all over. Now listen, this might be the last chance we ever have of seeing a real traditional toddler's funeral. So let's do it in style.
But yes, Spencer, who's got that kind of money now?
Don't worry about that. And never mind the grub and the booze. We've taken care of all that. Percy's old lady, mine, they've done all the catering.
Well, I mean, they'll be here in a minute. I've had a word with the vicar, and I've sorted out the invitations.
What type's a funeral?
Up past two.
What?
Yeah, well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, what is it? Half hour to the boneyard? Perfect. So everybody meets here an hour before kick-off for light refreshments, and then back here again after the main event for a cold collision and a good drink.
I can't get dressed.
Harold! Try and stay cheerful, mate. Old Harold doesn't look too good, though, does he?
What's the matter with you? Get in that bedroom.
That's the nicest thing I've ever heard.
That's friends for you, that is. You know them. Any excuse for boozer. They've taken a whole bleeding thing over.
They're genuine people, Harold.
Yeah, I'll get it stuck in there. We'll kill that one, all right.
Right. Stay in here. Keep the door locked.
There won't be anybody to give you a good send-off when you go. And another thing. What you have to go and tell them my dad's sitting on the bog for? I'm entitled to some dignity, you know. And another thing. I'm hungry. Oh, God!
Hello, dear. Got to talk about this.
All right, Lenny.
Dear, I got your pick of
onions, Len.
Come on, don't you worry about a thing, Harold. You leave it all to me. After all, it is your day.
Oh, Harold.
You do look nice. Don't you look nice, Flo?
Oh, yes, very smart. Your oldies. Here. What does he put your mind on?
Well, his oldies husband, isn't it? Oh, he was a lovely dresser, wasn't he?
Yeah, knew it though, didn't he? Yeah.
Hey, right, have some nourishment.
Yeah, he does look a bit peaky, though, doesn't he? Here you are, love. You grab hold of those, that's it.
Yes, you look very smart, Harold. You ought to dress like that all the time.
Here,
I would just like to thank you all for coming. This is a truly magnificent spread.
Ah, honey, lovely.
I expect you'd be glad to see the back of him. Really, be honest, Darryl. He held you back. You get yourself a nice girl. You deserve it.
Yeah, you forget about him. I mean, after all, love, he had his life.
Yeah, he had a good innings, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, now that he's not here anymore, Freedom. You can go out and enjoy yourself. Now, you know, you've got old face ache off your back.
Freedom!
Can you leave off?
I will try. Thank you, Auntie Frieda.
Bless you, love. Yeah.
Are you blaming me for?
Now, what are you on about?
Poor
Frieda's hardly cold and he's coughing and you're having a go at him.
He don't mind.
Of course he'd bleed him, mind you. It's his father, isn't it?
Does he mind? Would I hurt Harold like that, would I? I mean, I only told the truth. After all, he was an old face-ache. I mean, his
mum
was every time I
opened
my mouth.
Get back in that bedroom. Silly cows, I heard them. It's swarming with them down here. Do you hear me? It's swarming with them down here.
I ain't stopping up here for the rest of my life.
Well, you don't have to. Just till we cop the insurance money. And we sneak away one night, very quietly. And we start again somewhere else. Down in Cornwall. Somewhere here. Get me done.
Smashing. I wish it was alive. I'd scoff the lot.
Well, we start again. I change my name. Harry Faversham. Hello. Who's this?
It's Mr. Russell, the insurance agent.
Plus he's brought a cheque with him. Oh, that's what I like, prompt payer. Here! Get away from the window!
A man in a black suit and bowler hat looks around the yard.
Here, Charlie, come on with that!
Mr. Stepton, a junior.
My name is Russell. Eagle Alliance Insurance Company.
Won't you please go?
Arrow,
come on! Hey, join the party!
Please accept on behalf of the company our deepest sympathy on your recent...
Oh,
how's a tragedy.
Yes,
it was a great shock to us all.
Get your chatting gear around that. What about your friend? Would he like one and all?
No, he's all right, thank you.
Right, I'll go and get him one.
Very sad occasion.
Yes, it is very sad.
Now, with regard to the claim on the policy.
Here you are, Governor. It's as strong as a double scotch.
We'll be more private in the kitchen.
Cheers.
After all these years,
I've never got men alive.
I know that with a teenager,
Gilmore. It was very much loved. We should be all right in here for a few minutes.
Excuse me, I shut the door.
Do you care to sit down? Champagne.
Harold takes a bottle of champagne out of the toilet.
Nicely chilled.
No, thank you.
The insurance man sits down on the toilet.
Well, now?
£1,000, I believe.
Yes, but there is one slight snag.
Snag?
Yeah, we must regretfully inform you that in April 1949, your late father assigned the policy to a Mrs. Eileen Pycraft, who is now therefore the beneficiary. We will accordingly be arranging to make payment of the claim to Mrs. Pycraft in the near future.
I don't quite understand.
The assignment was legally attested to. I'm afraid there's nothing we can do about it.
It's not legal.
Can't be legal.
You'll excuse me.
No, please. Look.
It's about feeding time.
Is it legal?
What is legal?
Harold?
What?
Find yourself a nice girl.
Well, I hope it's all quite clear, Mr. Stepton. Good day to you.
Here! Where's your proper collar?
You can't.
He's a shop steward.
My condolences.
But I'm his natural son!
Was it Victor, wasn't it?
Shut up! Mrs. Eileen Pycraft!
How much profit?
Who the bleeding hell's Mrs. Eileen Pycraft?
Who?
can't be true.
I forgot about her.
You forgot?
Well, it's a long time ago. It was while you was in the army in Malaya. I met this bird, see? We was going to get married. Did I tell you about her?
No. No, you didn't.
Well, it was very serious at the time. She wanted a bit of security, see? She was a bit younger than me.
How old was she?
18.
You dirty old man. She was even younger than I was.
Yeah.
Not much chance of her being dead then, is there?
No, she was a very healthy girl.
Yeah, well, she's going to get a nice healthy little prize on her doormat first thing in the morning, £1,000.
Plus profits.
Look, when she didn't want to marry you, why didn't you change the policy back again?
I forgot.
Oh, God, I could tell you properly if I felt you was worth anything. But how can you forget a thing like that?
Don't get upset,
Harold. Upset? You're being buried in an hour's time. You're not dead. We've swindled insurance company. We ain't going to get the money.
You're going to have to go into hiding for the rest of your life. I'll probably go to the Nick for fraud when Frankie Barrett's finished with me.
And all you can say is don't get upset. I'm entitled to get upset.
Well, there's nothing much we can do about it, is there? You can't bring me back to life, can you?
Oh, Belter.
What did you say?
I said you can't bring me back to life, can you?
Oh, yes, I can.
First time the drinks have been on Albert.
George! Lenny, I'm not surprised at you. This is a coffin, not a four-ale bar.
Well, I'm sorry, Harold, but there's not a lot of room in here, is there?
Oh, come on, clear it off. That's going to go right through the beeswax. This is a brand new coffin, this is.
Would you excuse me?
What? Oh, Neville.
Why don't we put a cloth over it?
Yeah. We'll do no such thing. We'll move over into the alcove, just by the window. Come on, get this on.
Get out of the bloody way. Sticking over in the window, Al. You're plenty a lot, eh?
Come on, shut up.
You're all right, Al. Come on, bad son.
Harold draws the curtains over the alcove covering the coffin.
Oh, yes, they didn't come on to begin tonight.
Harold helps his father through the window.
Right.
Harold lifts his father into the coffin.
Oh,
right. Now, don't forget. I'll say he was a good father to me when no one's looking. I shall tap three times and you groan. Oh. Then you knock three times on the coffin. Then you sits up and you looks round.
Then all faint.
Don't you worry, mate. I'll be the first. Stupid old.
A man comes out of the house into the yard and picks up a dusty wreath from a cart.
Did he suffer at all?
No, I don't think so. No, he went out like a light.
That's the best way to go, I think.
No, he was a good father to me.
Oh, I always thought he was a miserable old bleeder.
No. He was a good father, and I shall miss him terribly.
Yeah, Harold.
Oh, he's not even...
I don't know how I'm going to manage without him. Quiet, please, quiet. Did you hear anything?
No, I didn't hear nothing. Greet, did you hear anything?
Hey?
Did you hear anything?
What, with all this bleeding noise going on?
Yeah.
Could swore I heard something.
What sort of thing?
I don't know, it was like a kind of a sort of a growl. Sort of a...
Oh, must have been Albert.
If it's serious, they'll groan again.
Right. Yeah, come on, you lot. It's 2 o'clock. It's time we was off. They're not going to keep that hole open forever.
No, don't go. Let's have one more drink.
We can have that when we come back, can't we?
Besides, Rangers own this afternoon. We don't want to get caught up in all that chat.
Come, give me another. Give me
just one more drink. It won't take long. Dear old pal. Jolly old pal.
We know how you feel. We don't want to see him go under no more than what you do. But let's face it, son, he is dead. And it's not going to help matters leaving him around here, is it?
Dear old pal.
He's got to go under old, otherwise he'll stink the bleeding place up.
Like he did when he was alive.
All of a sudden, let's have one more drink. I mean, that's not going to make us late.
Harold! If we have one more drink, we're all going to fall down the bleeding hole with him, ain't we? Now, come on, let's get this pulling out of here.
Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!
Steptoe is asleep in the coffin.
Daddy! I heard a growl! Give the picture! The growl!
No, no, no! Get it off! Now out! It's freezing cold out there. Now I got you. You just be a good boy and get
it off.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Get up a bit, George. That's it. Yeah, it's a nice bit of wood out.
The coffin is carried into the yard.
You're in the first car, Harold, behind the deceased.
Daddy!
You get in there, lad.
Daddy!
Don't worry, Harold. He's not dead.
Hey?
He's only sleeping.
Oh, yes, I know he is. Lazy bleeder.
Yeah. Come on, we're going to be late!
The cart carrying the coffin leaves the yard with the others following.
Look, let me through. No, I've got to get out. Please, just let me through, thank you.
Harold!
Daddy!
Give
us it. Don't look, Fetch. Now, please, I'm going to get up.
The owl!
Stop it, Dylan. We're running for this.
The owl!
Please, can you get the coffin round? That's all I want to do.
What's a big one?
Well, we'll pick up.
Carts are stopped at traffic lights. A man takes his hat off in respect.
Daddy! 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 Wake up! Wake up!
Daddy!
Daddy!
Get back on the car, you're not going to wake him up!
Daddy!
The procession winds down a busy street. Passes a Pickford lorry marked York. The side door of the lorry swings open and hits Harold in the face. He falls back unconscious.
Hey, stop her! Chris! Hang about!
What's that? Here!
Get out! We're going to now. Oh, we'd better carry on, haven't we? We can't find the vicar about.
Oh, I look bad, no, darling.
Yeah.
We'll tell them to dig another hole, just in case.
Yeah, you come and get up on mine.
Take him off to hospital, will you, Arthur? Go on.
Yeah, boy, you come and get with me. You'll be all right.
Hey, hang about.
Hey, all right. Now, come on, hurry up. You'll get up on the back, don't you? Hang on, bloody hell.
The card-carrying Harold arrives at the casualty department of the hospital. Next, the coffin arrives at the church.
Please pardon me.
I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
How are
you? You okay, baby?
What happened?
You all right, old chap? No cause for alarm.
Where am I?
In hospital, of course. Where else?
I was going to a funeral.
No, you are not dead yet.
Of whom may we seek for succor but of thee, O Lord? Who for our sins are justly esteemed. For as much as you have been called,
you can have a drink in a minute.
I was going to a funeral.
In my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not on other.
You had 10 stitches. I must insist you get back on the trolley.
But my father's being buried. If I don't get there in time, he'll be dead.
A harder knock than we thought.
Keep!
Harold runs out of the hospital.
The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all see.
Blimey, isn't he? He's got a 3-inch.
In a moment.
Yeah. What's he doing here?
In the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
The large trap.
Bring him back.
Where are you going?
Kensal Rise Cemetery in Harwich.
Don't be a silly boy. Go on back in there.
Oh, I'm all right. My father's been buried. I've got to be there in 10 minutes.
All right. Keep your turban on.
In the morning, it is green and groweth up. But in the evening, it is cut down, dried up, and withered.
I know the feeling.
Who for our sins are justly displeased. For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God of his great mercy, take unto himself the soul of our dear brother here departed. He therefore commit his body to the ground.
Stop!
A coffin is dropped into a grave, followed by the vicar. Harold stirs in dismay.
Terribly sorry. It's a wrong funeral.
For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God of his great mercy to take unto himself the soul of our dear brother here departed, we therefore commit his body to the earth, that it may be like unto his glorious body, according to the mighty working, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, for they rest from their labors. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Steptoe wakes up and pushes up the coffin lid.
Dirty, soppy, great thing.
Get up, you silly cow!
an illusion, isn't it? Shut up, will you? Shut up!
The vicar runs away from the grave, and then he sees Harold in bandages emerging from a small mausoleum he'd fallen into. The vicar faints.
Now, about the policy.
Yeah, well, there was a snag.
A snag?
Yes. Well, you see, after a tremendous amount of research, we managed to trace Mrs. Pycroft. But luckily, your father had made it a condition that the money would not go to her if she ever remarried. And I'm glad to say that she has.
How? Oh, in that case, I could have buried him after all.
Anyway, the policy now reverts back to Mr. Steptoe. Now, are you quite sure that you want to cash it in?
Yes, he does.
The surrender value is, of course, not as much as you would have received in the event of Mr. Steptoe's death.
Ah, well, we'd rather have the Conkers. You see, we find ourselves at this moment in rather an embarrassing pecuniary situation.
Yeah, we're skint.
Potless.
Quite. Well, if you would just sign the release form here. Just there.
Make your mark.
Now then, here's our cheque in full settlement, £876.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I was going to discuss the advisability of taking out a new policy.
I know, thank you.
Yes, you can pay by monthly instalments.
I will fully cover, thank you.
You can insure each other.
No, thank you.
Personal accident, now that's a good one.
No, thank you.
A personal indemnity. I mean, what if one of your tiles falls down on one of your neighbour's heads?
We don't like the neighbours. Goodbye.
$876. Money. Not bad. He's really good. How much?
£80.
Oh, you did well there. Where's the change?
Ah, well, I invested it.
Oh, no, Harold. You haven't. Not again. What have you slung it away on this time? A racehorse. Buying a bleeding racehorse.
I bought a half share in a racehorse.
You bought a half share in a racehorse, yeah. And from Frankie Barra.
Yeah, you actually wins this afternoon with a quids in. He'll start at 25 to 1.
Yeah, he probably won't finish until half past 10. You've been conned again, you great pillock.
You don't believe me, do you? There it is, in black and white. This is to certify that Harold Steptoe owns a half share in Excalibur.
It is in black and white as well. Excalibur, owner H.M. Queen.
Yeah, that's him. That's right. H.M. Queen. That's my partner. We're going to split half the winnings.
H.M. Queen.
H.M. Queen.
H.M. Queen.
Oh, my God!
Waving to the crowd and doffing their top hats, Harold and Steptoe follow a royal procession down a racecourse. The end.